Hi, this is Drew, and thanks for listening to our podcast. Hopefully you've been enjoying our show for a while now, but if you're a brand new listener, then the next 50 seconds are not for you, so just go ahead and fast forward a bit. I just wanted to ask our longtime listeners to consider becoming patrons of The Drew Marshall Show, because by throwing us just a few bucks each month, you'll be helping what many tell us is the most brutally authentic spiritual show they've ever heard stay on the air. Look, as loyal podcast listeners, you've been getting the same programming our radio listeners have been hearing live Saturdays 1 to 5 for the last 16 years. Except you get to hear everything commercial-free, you smart consumer, you. Well, because of a brand new arrangement with our studio, our expenses have now gone through the roof. And to be brutally honest, we could use the help to cover those costs. So just before you go to bed tonight, maybe you could stop by our website and click on the giant click here to become a patron sign. And if a whole bunch of you were able to scrounge up like $4 per month, then individually your $4 would have just made a massive difference in helping us cover what it costs to bring you the Drew Marshall Show. Okay, that's it. Sorry to bug you. Now on with the show. I hope you have a good sleep tonight. After you become a patron. Thanks for tuning in. As I said earlier, you're listening to The Drew Marshall Show. We're streaming live at drewmarshall.ca. We're also video streaming live on Facebook. I'm going to wave a nice... Wow, I'm really zoomed in today.
It's all about you, Drew.
I wish I'd flossed. Let's get Tim in the shot, too. Okay, now it's like a SCTV. Remember that?
Dr. Tongues. Something or other, magic theater.
We have some themes that we want to focus on today because we're kind of gearing up for... Christmas. That's what I've heard, anyway.
Yes. Not my favorite time of year.
So a couple of themes we're going to focus on today. Mindfulness, because a little bit later at 3 o'clock, Jon Kabat-Zinn will be joining us. He, of course, is a mindfulness guru. He would not call himself a guru, but we did. A.J. Jacobs, he's the author of Thanks a Thousand. And, of course, the theme there is thankfulness. Mindfulness, thankfulness, and then to start things off, forgiveness. Marina, uh-oh. Now, Marina, I want to bring you into the show right away because I don't know how to pronounce your last name. How do you pronounce your last name?
Cantacuzino.
Well, now, where is that from? Tell me about that.
It's Romanian.
It is Romanian. I've never heard that name before. Have you?
No, I have not. No.
Marina is an award-winning journalist who's worked for most British mainstream publications, including The Guardian, The Telegraph, and Hello Magazine. And in 2003, in response to the invasion of Iraq, she embarked on a personal project collecting stories of people who had lived through trauma and injustice and sought forgiveness rather than revenge. As a result, Marina founded the Forgiveness Project and has started speaking widely about forgiveness and restorative storytelling. The website is theforgivenessproject.com, theforgivenessproject.com. Marina, I think anybody who knows that you're the founder behind this whole thing wants to know if you have some kind of huge forgiveness story, or is it just something you were interested in from a distance?
Yeah, in a way it is. I don't have a big story. I think that's quite helpful because caring and facilitating the stories can be quite difficult and stressful at times. But I think I always had this fascination with how do people let go of hate? And as a journalist, I was always wanting to inquire, ask questions. So it just comes from a fascination in the subject. I mean, obviously, like anyone, I've had things to forgive and things to be forgiven for, but no big extreme stories, no.
I'm also incredibly curious about this forgiveness stuff, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
And I wonder if it has to do with the fact that I think it would be hard for me to forgive. Let me say it this way. I can come up with numerous scenarios where it would be incredibly hard for me to forgive. And I think most people have that same line of thinking.
Yeah.
And I've often said, you know, okay, fine. Stuff goes down with me. No worries. Life goes on. But if anything happened to my kids, you know what I mean?
Yes.
So yeah. What is maybe one or two of your all-time rock-your-soul forgiveness stories that you've ever heard?
Well, okay, I mean, over the 15 years that I've been doing this work, I've done about 150 in-depth interviews with people, and every single one teaches me something new and inspires me in a different way. So it's very hard for me to say that, but I can just randomly pick a couple. One, for instance, is a guy called Arno Michaelis, who is a former white supremacist Nazi from America, who, the reason I'm interested in his story, and we've done some work with him, he seems so full of hate, and those sort of people, blind prejudice.
Yeah.
you can't imagine how they can come out of it. And it was like one incident when he went into a McDonald's and he had swastikas tattooed on his fingers, and the woman behind the bar, who was black, sort of looked at him with compassion and said, "You're worth more than that," she said, looking at her tattoos.
Great line.
And wow. Disarmed really by this compassion, that he fled from the store, and it changed him. That one sort of action from that one woman who didn't respond to him with hate, although he'd gone in with all this aggression. And then he's what he says now, because that was the beginning of a huge change, and he started something called an organization called Life After Hate, and does amazing work around the world at de-radicalizing white supremacists and people who are, taken over by hate and xenophobia and prejudice. But he said, "Forgiveness is a sublime example of humanity that I explore at every opportunity, because it was the unconditional forgiveness I was given by people who I once claimed to hate that demonstrated the way from there to here." And the reason I like that story is it really shows that being forgiven unexpectedly can completely change your life around when you don't deserve it, I should say.
Well, okay, so that brings me, before you share another story, which that one just blew me away, but that brings me to this line that somebody smart said, because I know I didn't come up with it. And it goes like this: forgiveness is not getting what you deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. What do you think of that?
I've never heard that before, isn't that funny? I always think I've heard most of the quotes about forgiveness.
Oh, Tim, I'm sorry. My engineer here thinks that he has smarter things to say than me.
Well,
Tim?
One's a little more poetic. Forgiveness is the scent left on the heel of the boot that crushed the rose.
Yeah, okay.
That's good. That one.
Okay.
That's,
yeah. And there's another one.
She knew that one already, Tim.
Forgiveness is...
I like that one a lot.
Oh!
Forgiveness is...
I prefer it to yours, actually.
Oh, come on!
Woohoo! Forgiveness is giving up hope.
Because yours is far, far complicated, because it depends what you mean by grace, and everybody has a different sort of interpretation of that word.
Yeah, yeah.
And the other one is...
But the one that was just spoken was forgiveness. Is heel that has crushed it.
Yeah.
I like that. It shows that forgiveness grows out of damage. It shows it's messy. And it shows that it is potentially a kind of healing balm.
Healing balm. I like that. That's what the Middle East needs more of.
Yeah.
Healing balms. Tim, all right, Tim, here's another one.
Forgiveness is giving up hope for a better yesterday.
A better past.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
She knew that one too.
Yeah, I know. Very good. And in the work we do in prisons, the prisoners really can relate to that quote.
So we are going to have some people involved with the Forgiveness Project on our show over the next couple of weeks, because seriously, look, we get this sort of kumbaya feeling, or a lot of people try to get the kumbaya feelings around Christmas. But sometimes the kumbaya feelings get blocked by... forgiveness issues by people who have done wrong, and especially within families, there can be really, really weird things. And just the other day, I was having conflict with somebody, and I said this, I've been struggling with it, and what do I do with it? And we're in this day and age where we tend to unfriend people. We just unfriend them. Well, you can't unfriend family. Well, you can, but it's better to try to go another direction. And I was thinking, I wonder if this is really something to help me, like training wheels, to help me get to where I really want to go. Because, Marina, I want to be somebody that is able to love those who are hard to love. Because it's easy to love those that are easy to love. But to love those that are hard to love is really the kind of person I want to be. But when you're forced to love somebody, not forced, but when it's a family member... It's a good training ground, because if it was a stranger, I just go whatever and I don't have to see them again. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. And actually, you asked me at the beginning why I was interested in this. And I think it's because it's always really pained me. Over the years, I've witnessed people like put their friends and their family into exile.
Yeah.
But about something they've done or said or haven't done or said. And it's really, you know, like you, I think it's really seemed to be such a brutal response to being hurt. And so, you know, while I would say I'm dead, and the Forgiveness Project is not about prescribing forgiveness, by the way, it's very much about examination and exploration and discussion.
That's important.
I would say with these relationships you're talking about, personal forgiveness, I think it is the oil of human relationships, forgiveness, because people will let us down. That's the thing. People will behave in ways we don't want them to.
Tim.
And it seems to me that forgiving is about letting go of the expectation that they won't.
Yeah, it really is, isn't it? It really, really is. Okay, so you founded this how many years ago? Again, the Forgiveness Project?
15 years ago.
15 years ago. From then until now, Marina, how many times have you wanted to quit?
Never. I mean, I've never wanted to quit because, I'll tell you why, something happened to me today. I was just literally walking around in part of London I don't usually go to, doing some Christmas shopping. And this guy I thought he was following me. He sort of looked a bit weird. But anyway, and then he just sort of came up to me and said, "Are you Marina from the Forgiveness Project?" And I was a bit taken aback. I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "I'm so glad to see you." He said, "I've been working with addicts and an addiction for 20 years. And he said, "Your project and the website and the books you've written are the most helpful tool and resource I have ever found."
Wow. Said,
"Because they bring together head and heart." And he said, "It's very hard to find resources and tools that work in the way that the Forgiveness Project does." And that's why I've carried on, because while that was kind of unusual to be accosted in the street, it's not unusual to have those responses from random people like all over the world. And I wasn't planning any of this, by the way. It's literally all I do is share stories. All we do is share stories and get people to talk.
That's amazing. That really is amazing. And hold on, let me just check myself here in this one, because it sounds like a platitude. Oh, what you do is so amazing. But I'm just trying to figure out. I think it's amazing because it's more amazing these days because we seem. Look, all you have to do is go into the comment section of any video or blog and you see the degradation of humanity.
True.
And this Forgiveness Project is the antidote for that kind of caustic humanity.
Yeah, and what's encouraging, I mean, what you say is true, and that's very, very depressing and horrible, and I think social media's got a lot to answer for. But also, I mean, in this country, we've got a new movement called Compassion in Politics that's getting quite a lot of attention. So I think there is this recognition that actually compassion is a very powerful tool that needs to be used more widely because it's... What's happening, the way people talk and degrade each other and feel they have a license to hate.
Yeah.
And the way hate is so easily amplified and normalized. I mean, people are beginning to recognize, I think, that's just so detrimental to our society.
We're chatting with Marina. Oh, crap. I forgot how to pronounce her last.
Cantacuzino.
See? Marina Cantacuzino, she's the founder of the Forgiveness Project. The website is theforgivenessproject.com. You know, in Canada, I don't know if it's the same over there in your neck of the woods, but we are trying to legislate forgiveness. We are trying to legislate hate. And I know I'm not using the right words here, but we are making it illegal to spew hatred. But it's gone extreme. And I don't think you can make someone... think better of someone else. You can't legislate that kind of thing.
No, you can't, and it can go underground.
Yes.
But at the same time, I think I'm not sure if it's helpful when people are allowed to say anything that they want to say because it just fuels it and it puts ideas into people's heads. So I don't know about your legislation. You sound skeptical about it.
Well, I am very skeptical yeah. about it because, you know, to make language illegal has gone so far. I mean, if you've seen anything of Jordan Peterson and he's kind of exploded around the world, you know, they're thinking of making it illegal for someone to mistakenly or on purpose identify someone's to misgender somebody. So they present as a female, and but you know they're a male, and you call them a male. All, next thing you know, you're in prison, and it's just to make language illegal is a scary, scary. I think history has proven that that's a dangerous road to go down.
Yeah, because it's baby, it's cold outside.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the whole baby, it's cold outside thing. I'm sorry. I'm of that middle-aged, you know, white, privileged, what am I, heterosexual. There's no way.
Cisgendered.
There's nothing you can say that will offend me, so what do I know? I'm just a moron. So, anyway. I want everyone to go, and we're going to talk more about the Forgiveness Project next week and the week after. We're going to have some stories, just some unbelievable stories from the Forgiveness Project. Again, the website is theforgivenessproject.com, and we've been speaking with Marina Cantacuzino.
I did it. Way to go.
She is the founder of the Forgiveness Project, and it is actually an honor to have you on the show. Thank you guys for what you do. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Marina, take care.
Okay, thank you.
All right, say hello to Theresa May for us, please.
Well, I don't think I will.
That's unforgivable.
Oh, man.
Okay.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye-bye.
That's what the British do over there when they say goodbye. They go up a tone, eh?
Yes.
Right, bye. The Scottish are really good at it. Grant Wallace in particular. Right, bye. Hey, just
I wanted to ask her about... Michelle Obama and her statement that I cannot forgive Donald Trump for the whole birther thing, and what does she think about not can't forgive and how that's going to play, and you know, anyways.
I stopped listening.
Okay.